Paul the Apostle says that we are not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. God desires that our minds would be clear, not foggy, not unstable.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul grew up in a dysfunctional home with an alcoholic father. The pain of his childhood caused him to struggle as a young man until God brought healing and restoration to his life. For more of Raul's inspiring testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or for a free DVD of his story, call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us as we continue our series focusing on the transforming power of God through repentance. Drawing from personal experience as well as the wise writings of Solomon, Raul will explore the destruction that comes from giving alcohol an elevated place in your life. And as you stay with us, you'll see that following the Lord's limitations on drinking will actually bring you more freedom. Today's lesson is titled, The Problem with Drinking. Here's Raul Reese now in Proverbs 23, verse 29.
Sometimes we think that God makes rules and regulations because he really doesn't want us to have fun. So we become upset, especially when you begin to study the Bible and the Bible begins to deal with different subjects, important subjects and topics in the Bible that actually are good for each one of us to understand. I have seen not only that alcohol has ruined more marriages and families, then I would hate to tell you I've seen them by the hundreds. One of the things that I can share with you personally is that when I was a kid, I came from an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic. He had a great job, made a lot of money, but he had a problem with drinking every day. And the problem led to verbal and physical abuse in the home. I can remember at the age of 5 years old, you say, you can remember that far back? I can remember that far back. I can remember from age five all the way through in my teenage years where my dad used to take me with him to these bars where I was outside waiting for him to come out as he would come out totally drunk and then go home and begin to fight with my mother and abuse her verbally and physically. And so I kind of grew up with this thing in my heart before I was a believer, hating alcoholics, not having to do anything with people that drink. And yet when God spoke to Solomon and Solomon spoke to his son, and my concern is that Solomon loved his son as we love you today, and that's why we're instructing you. We don't want any one of you to get messed up. We want you to open your eyes to the truth. Once we give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can't tie your hands. We can't even force you to stop drinking. You know, that's your choice you make. There are no rules and regulations that God gives to us. He shares with us, he teaches us, he warns us, and then he says, these are the consequences. You have to make a choice in life. I feel when you're young, you're naive and sometimes ignorant to the truth. When you get to be my age and you lived a little while, you begin to understand more things that my parents were trying to teach me that I did not understand and that I rebelled against. All they're trying to do is save your life. Listen to Solomon in Proverbs 23, 29 to 35, what he says. He says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Notice, describing a person that has problems with drinking. Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one that lies down in the midst of the sea, or like the one that lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When I shall awake, that I may seek another drink." Immediately, as soon as he wakes up, he can hardly wait until he gets another drink. But he doesn't even remember what happened last night. The times that I drank and I got drunk, let me tell you, I almost died. One time I almost died, almost OD in alcohol. I was so sick. My system couldn't take it. But I can remember the stupid things that I did when I drank. And how your mind is not all there. And you get a little bit kind of bold to do things that you probably would not do while you were sober. When your friends kind of egg you on to do stupid things. And yet, when it comes to statistics, it's amazing that 20% of freezing deaths, he calls it, in our county are done because of alcohol, or 25% of choking accidents or deaths are related to alcohol, or 50% of deaths from falls are due to alcohol, or 52% of fire deaths are due to alcohol, or 60% of suicides are related to alcohol. 64% of murders are related to alcohol. 69% of drownings are connected to alcohol abuse. 76% of robberies and assaults are actually connected to alcohol. 60% of rapes are related to alcohol. And 80% of criminal activities and cases are involved with alcohol. All these things have to do with alcohol drinking. You see, the Bible exhorts us in the epistle of Ephesians. He tells us, Paul the Apostle says, that we are not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. God desires that our minds would be clear, not foggy, not unstable. You see, this subject of alcohol is a very important subject because it brings a lot of controversy among people. And yet, the Bible, concerning the actual subject of alcohol, gives us many warnings because of what it's done to so many people. So the Bible's pretty clear when it talks about drinking and what it says about a person's life. I like what Fenton says. He said, some of the most dreadful mischief that afflict mankind proceed from wine. It is the cause of disease, quarrel, sedition, idleness, aversion to labor, and every species of domestic accord is because of drinking. It's not a small subject, but it's a major subject. And some people say, well, in the Bible, they drank. Yeah, they did. But it wasn't fermented wine. Let me read to you what kind of wine they drank. Because the Bible literally forbid the priest and the elders, and it forbid anyone that was serving the Lord to drink anything that was fermented. That's why Paul the Apostle, even to Timothy, when he has stomach problems, said, Timothy, if you're having stomach problems, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. But what did they do? They diluted the wine by putting 3 glasses of water into the wine to help your infirmity. He doesn't say, Timothy, be a social drinker. He's not saying that. He had a problem with his stomach. And so when you read historically the way they fermented the wine, you get the idea what God is saying in the scriptures. And it makes you wise. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts 2:13, when the Holy Spirit came down On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The people that were non-believers, it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and what did they say when they got baptized with the Holy Spirit? They said, these men are actually drinking new wine. They're drunk. And Peter stood up and said, hey, these men are not drunk. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit. God has baptized them. God has touched their lives completely. The primary word used for wine in the New Testament is used 36 times. The problem is that this primary word is used for all stages of wine. That is, from the grape itself to the most fermented stage. When you read in the Greek language or in the Hebrew, you have to look up the word. Because of loose interpretation, some have used this ambiguity to take some positive passages about wine to justify the usage of wine in our own day so they can get drunk. You see, well, Jesus drank wine. Really? What kind of wine did he drink? Gallo? No, I'm just kidding you. What kind of wine did he drink? You see? And yet, in ancient times, fermentation began immediately within 24-hour period with a side of foam appearing on the grapes placed on the wine vats. Then, according to Jewish tradition, it tells us that it is available immediately for the wine tithe, which is spoken of in the Old Testament, after a week. Certain violent procedures that have been going on will subside. The wine is usually transferred into jars or wineskins at that stage. And at that point, it is called, according to the Hebrew, new wine. Up to 40 days, this wine was suitable for use as the drink offering in the Old Testament days. After that, the wine was deteriorating so rapidly that the Jews thought it was unacceptable for religious purposes. The longest wines were ever kept in ancient time was 3 years. Then all of it was destroyed and poured out. The term old wine seems to refer to that which is at least 1 year old. The wine that is served at Passover was always, listen, mixed with three parts of water to make sure it was not an alcoholic beverage. And usually they would drink what? Grape juice. So they didn't drink wine. You can get a book in the library and read it. And yet they're always blaming it on Jesus. Jesus was a wine bibber. No, he was not. Never once was Jesus drunk on wine. I think it's of importance that we understand what the Bible teaches so that we don't get ensnared in the sin of drunkenness. Why? Because according to the scripture, in the book of Galatians, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Corinthians, he says what? That no drunkard will ever inherit the kingdom of God. No drunkard. If you have to have it, it is a problem. What are some of the evil effects of drinking? Let me give you seven of them that I found in the Bible. Number one, drinking leads you to violence. Proverbs 4:17 says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. People become very aggressive when they drink. Secondly, drinking mocks a man. Proverbs 21 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise, but is stupid. Notice what he says. Thirdly, wine or drinking makes a person poor. It keeps you from working eventually. Proverbs 23:20-21 says, do not mix with wine bibbers or with glutton eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Notice Solomon warning his son. Fourthly, drinking bites like a serpent. Proverbs 23:31-33 says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, When it swirls around smoothly, at last it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper, your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. And then fifthly, drinking impairs your judgment. Proverbs 31:4-5 says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for leaders intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law of God and pervert justice of all that are afflicted. He's actually speaking to the priest and to the king and to those in authority. If you drink, you're going to have a false judgment when it comes to dealing with people, because your senses are not all there. Six, drinking inflames the passions. In Isaiah 5:11, he says this, woe to those who rise up early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue into the night until wine inflames them and their passions. Think about that. And then seventh, drinking takes away the heart. Hosea 4:11 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine enslaves the heart. You become a slave to drinking. You become a slave to those things that God has warned you about. Wine in the Bible is often connected with immorality. Alcoholic beverages are dangerous because they begin to control your heart, your attitudes, your thinking processes, whether you like it or not. I like what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2:15. He says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor. This is a warning. If you are introducing people to drinking and you're giving your neighbor or whoever it may be, you're buying for them drink, this is what God says. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look to his nakedness. That's a heavy scripture. You give to drink to seduce that person and to see their nakedness. Woe unto that person. You see, alcoholic beverages are obviously dangerous in terms of what? Carousing and drunkenness and violence. It makes a person lose all judgment. And yet, God wants us to be looking for his coming. Why? Because when you're living one day at a time as if the Lord is going to come, it will keep you from these evils. It will keep you from these things. They will destroy you. In Luke 21:34, he says, but take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, as that day would come on you unexpectedly. When you're caught up with partying and drinking and drugs and all these things, you're not really looking for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord may come today. And how is he going to find you? And what is he going to find you doing? Because when it comes, it's going to come like a flood. You see? It's going to come like a flood. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. Now, who are these people in the Bible that literally did not drink? Well, first of all, they tell us the priest was one of them. According to Leviticus 10:9, listen, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout all of your generations. God says, if you're a priest and you drink and you go into the tabernacle, God would smite you dead. He would kill you. This is why in Leviticus chapter 10, when Abihu and his brother, Aaron's sons, remember when they got a little bit tipsy and they went into the tabernacle and started offering sacrifice, and what did God do? God killed them both immediately. You can read the story. And he gives you a warning that if you're a priest, you're not to drink anything. Secondly, the Nazarites. Samson was a Nazarite. Listen, in Numbers 6:3, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made with wine, nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat any fresh grapes or raisins. He was to be totally consecrated, separated to his God. Thirdly, the prophets were not to drink wine. Here is an illustration of the prophets and the priests and the kings at the time of Isaiah. They were getting drunk and could not make right judgment. This is what God says. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. To those who are overcome with wine, but they also have erred from wine or through wine. And through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision and they stumble also in judgment. Notice that. And God brought his judgment upon these men because of what they did. Fourthly, the kings and the princes could not drink. Proverbs 31:4-5 says, it is not for kings, O Lamuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law of God and pervert justice in all afflicted. In the New Testament, the elders and the bishops were not to drink wine. 1 Timothy 3:2-3. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, nor violent, nor greedy for money, but gentle and not quarrelsome and not covetous. And then Titus 1:7. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, and not greedy for money. And then again for deacons in 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, and not given to wine, and not greedy for money. So what the Bible is sharing with us is that we have a freedom to do whatever we want to do. But I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether in word, in deed, in food, in drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this is the question that I ask myself every day. How is this thing that I'm going to do going to bring glory and honor to the Lord? And then I have a better conscience. Hey, if it's going to please the Lord, then go for it 100%. But if it's not pleasing to the Lord and is going to hurt you, your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you know what? I will not eat meat, Paul said, or do anything that will stumble my relationship with God and with men. I surely do not want to make you stumble, and surely you don't want to make anybody else stumble in your life.
You are listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today, we'd like to offer you an audio resource that will further encourage you to give up anything that's become a barrier between you and the Lord. Titled Returning Home, this 4-CD audio pack draws from Christ's parable of the prodigal son to offer biblical assurance that God will always forgive anyone who truly repents. Whether you've been struggling with alcohol or some other temptation, you'll see that the Lord can pardon, heal, and restore you. So take the first step toward a fresh start with God and contact us today. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165. When you contact us, ask for the 4-CD series titled Returning Home. We'll send it to you for a gift of $19 or more. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. The mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Now, we can also send you an unedited copy of today's teaching for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Rawls' lesson titled The Problem with Drinking. Somebody Loves You Radio is supported solely through the generosity of listeners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your contributions ensure we can keep Rawls' Bible-based teaching on the air. Now, we'd also love to hear how these programs have impacted your life. It's our prayer that every message helps strengthen and guide you in your spiritual walk, so we welcome your feedback. Coming up on the next broadcast, we'll get encouragement to maintain transparency in our relationship with the Lord by seeing that hidden sin carries a heavy weight of guilt, while confession brings the freedom of forgiveness. Now, once again, here's Raul with the final word.
May God give us insight to be obedient to the Word of God. And secondly, to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. That's what God desires within each one of us. And then walking by the Holy Spirit and then abiding in Jesus Christ, as he said this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And here's the key. For without me, you can do nothing. We need Jesus Christ. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to be in heaven, we need Jesus every day of our lives.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.